Dr. Jim Adams is joining us. He is from Northwestern Medicine, and this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yep, in case anybody is asking. And Dr. Jim joins us every couple of weeks to scare me, is basically what he does. And thank you for doing that. You're doing an excellent job at it.
I was just saying, you scared me enough to look for fiber in my bread now, and I've been on the hunt for high fiber every time I go shopping for bread. So thank you, Dr. Jim, for that.
My pleasure, and not one antibiotic prescription so far.
That's coming. Well, yeah, sure. When he walks in, and I give him like a list of antibiotics, and he goes, "No, you may not have them." And I'm like, well, if this were Canada, I could get him. And he goes, "I don't care. This is not Canada. Leave me alone." And I'm not even your doctor. So
that's a good point right there.
I think it shows that he's a very ethical man. All right. But this is kind of a shocking story. Mm-hmm. CVS and Walgreens have both stopped selling Zantac over contamination fears. And I read a story earlier today that they were looking at all of the, what is it, ranitidine? What is the name of that brand?
Yeah, ranitidine.
Ranitidine is the actual drug itself. But this is Zantac only now, we think?
It seems to be Zantac, just specific to the manufacturing, a contaminant got in. And good for them for picking it up, and good for them for alerting everybody.
So now this is a cancer-causing contaminant.
It is.
Right? And do we know if there are any cases directly related to Zantac and this, or this is just a known carcinogen, and that's the fear?
There are no known cases. It's just a known carcinogen. It's just known to be toxic, so they say we don't want it in the drug. There's no purpose. Stop the drug.
Is there any idea of how long it's been present in the drug, or is it regularly tested and they just picked up on it now, or is it something that potentially has been there for a while?
So I don't know that that's known yet, how long it's been in there, but with the monitoring of the drug, it was picked up, so mm-hmm. presumably between now and their last testing.
So what, Dr. Jim, if people who are taking this, and a lot of people are, I know people in my immediate family, and Rose says he's taking it, what do you take instead? What are you recommending?
Oh, just talk to your doctor. They'll switch you to another equivalent product, and it's just not a problem.
You won't even notice the difference,
not
kind of
problem.
Thing. You just switch right over.
Another ranitidine, because there's a couple different, even over-the-counter, right? Isn't Pepcid also that? Isn't Pepcid the same as Zantac?
There's a lot of different antacids. Your doctor will just prescribe the one that's right, and it seems to be just this manufacturing facility, so any other medicines will be cleared.
Okay, and if you have it in your... I'm just always throwing them out anyway. This is why I'm asking them constantly, because I look at the pill, I go, that looks dented to me, I'm throwing that out.
Yeah, no, this one's not
good. Out the whole lot. I don't know.
You have a little microscope at home, and you sort of examine them before taking them.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
I have a nuclear medicine lab at my house. It's not helping me feel better, but it's something. So... if you do have this at home, though, if you have Zantac, it's probably, we'll have to wait to see if there are lot numbers that are going to be released, I'm assuming, here at some point.
I would, if you know the pharmacy, talk to the pharmacist, talk to your doctor. I think that the safest thing is just to switch you to a known safe product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. I think I'm feeling better. I'm not exactly 100% sure. Okay. Whooping cough. Now this, on Friday when we were leaving here and we pre-record these promotional announcements that run throughout the weekend, mm-hmm. and we were mentioning you and this whooping cough thing, and it's like back, whooping cough. I thought that was one of those things that they talked about from, a billion years ago, and nobody still got it.
It's so disappointing because it's a really rough disease. It's really just miserable. And everybody...
With a cute name, unfortunately.
Whooping cough, yeah.
But once you've heard the whoop,
Yeah, or experience, it's so terrible. But all the children should be vaccinated, really starting at young ages, even 2 months, and then 4 and 6, because it can be really harmful to children under 1 year old. So they mm-hmm. recommend 5 vaccines up through age 6, and then boosters in the adolescent years and in adulthood. So people really should be immunized and have boosters, but apparently not, and the immunity can wane.
And it's very contagious.
It's very contagious.
So if you're around somebody, even nearby somebody, how would you catch it? Is it from you have the cough particles, or how does it actually transmit it?
Yeah, it's not as contagious as the measles, but it is contagious through droplets. So mm-hmm. Just avoid other people's cough, and if somebody is coughing, don't get coughed on, because in the first week or two, it can appear mild.
Mm-hmm.
So just like a runny nose and a little cough, but then it can turn into a really severe cough and last a really long time.
And whooping cough is, by its nature, the whooping cough vaccine is pretty foolproof, right?
It is. It's a good vaccine. Now, you'll need to have boosters, but it's a good vaccine. Now, nothing's
100%. How often does one have to have a booster for that?
Right now,
as a child, you have to have a booster, or as an adult, should you get a booster?
As an adult, you should get two. So in adolescence, a booster. Every pregnant woman should have a booster. Everyone, your OB will take care of that. And then everybody that gets updated with tetanus every 10 years, mm-hmm. automatically we just put diphtheria and pertussis in that vaccine. So anybody that gets a tetanus can check, but they should get both tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis.
Okay, I got to come over. I got to do that. I got to check.
Another visit.
I got to with
Brody's my, not your personal doctor.
My doctor doesn't talk to me anymore.
I know you're always on.
Right, because he had to change his cell phone number three times.
I think it
it's
was
like
a sign.
What about Bob with me? It's particularly bad. But so are there any other vaccines that you recommend that adults get?
Yeah, there's a series, and your doctor, depending on the age.
Yeah.
And your risks and your travel will recommend the vaccines. So there's a long series we could talk about another time, but everything from pneumovax to meningococcemia, there's a whole list of things that's worth a conversation.
So talk to your doctor about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, I'll see you in the hallway.
You just want to be up to speed on everything, right, Rob? Make sure you have everything.
I don't even know what I guess if you go, like now at Northwestern, you have the Northwestern app that you can look and it's got your mm-hmm. whole medical profile and everything on it.
Yeah.
You make your appointments through it, and it's all right there, and all your test results. And I just pour over those at night. Sometimes I read them to the family. Now this is a chem panel, and I would mm-hmm. like to read to you now my cholesterol levels and my HDL,
it's almost too accessible for some.
It's good to put kids to sleep, though. You want mm-hmm. me to come over and put Gabby to sleep? I can read from my chart.
From your my chart?
Yeah, it would be something. All right, and then finally, this is interesting. New study says that onions and garlic may protect against breast cancer.
Yeah, so I think it points to the benefits of a natural diet and low processed food. So the vegetables, the fruits. If there were, if broccoli and cauliflower came on the market, they could be marketed as medicines. They're that beneficial.
Hmm.
And I would put garlic and onion in the same category. So people who are eating natural diets, really, it's a benefit.
So when you cook it, are you cooking those nutrients out or those protective things out, or should you have that more raw or slightly cooked?
So garlic and onion, it's fine cooked. And there's some vegetables like carrots that are actually better cooked because it releases nutrients, but just don't overcook anything. So on the minimally cooked side is healthiest, but just eat them. It's fine as long as the chemicals are in there.
Okay. Can I ask something that came up earlier, another segment, about those surgical masks you often see people wearing, say, at the airports and things like that, and it was brought up in relation to Sterigenics because it's being shut down, and some of the people who live there, because they were legitimately concerned, were either wearing them or asking their kids to wear these masks. Would that, what do they filter out and what don't they filter out?
So two things. One, they're not as beneficial as people think because people are inhaling from the sides too much. So air is getting directly in from the sides the majority of the time. On the other hand, going through the airport, if my immune system was low and with all this stuff going around, it's not going to hurt. And mm-hmm. if you actually keep the mask up against your face, it really can filter out larger particles. On the other hand, the viruses are often small that they can get straight through. So there's different types of masks, different degrees of filtering. And the masks that you see typically don't filter a lot. On the other hand, if it catches some big respiratory droplets, that might be better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't breathe through those things. I don't know. I start...
heaving.
Yes. I get very... I get claustrophobic in those masks, and I'm not comfortable in them. Thank you for wearing them. I mean, that's one of the things, right? I mean, it keeps people who are sick from being, it sort of works the other way as well, right?
It does, but the most important thing is hand washing, because most people touch a surface, then touch their face.
Yes.
And that's the thing that'll get you.
Yeah. And the airport, you mentioned the airport. Airport's bad because there's a lot of germs that we may not be in contact with because of people from all over the world, right?
That's
especially
right.
Especially at O'Hare, right?
But that's why we think Chicago really can bring diseases from around the world and why we're on the watch out for those.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you ever go to O'Hare, though.
It's just... I go in a full body suit, full hazmat suit when I arrive. They don't like that either. Well, that ties into this
TSA.
Antimicrobial thing, right? That the like all those there's like an explosion, right, of the first of all, people are using all those antimicrobial products, right? So it everywhere you go, whether it's a bank, here, at home, you know, people are either using it like a dish soap as antimicrobial, or they've got the, you know, Purell on their desk or whatever it is. And is that helping or is that hurting the situation?
So while there's some debate, the weak antibacterial products probably could be worsening things because it can kill all the weak bacteria, but the strong bacteria and the resistant ones live. So we don't know exactly.
When they say 99.8%, yeah, it's that 0.2% I should be worried about?
0.2 could ever take. On the other hand, products like bleach really just do kill everything. And at home, if you really want to kill stuff, just use bleach, and it will be great.
I will have no color in my clothing now.
We're going to start getting bleach wipes down in the whole studio before we start and everything. I was like, excuse me, all the microphones will be swabbed.
The smell of bleach. Now I know I'm safe. I know, man.
I find it interesting. You talk about how onions and garlic and different studies, that these low processed food diet, and it really can help boost our immune systems. Ultimately, that's what you want to do in order to fight off most of this stuff that's going to be facing us on a day-to-day basis.
It's true. Most of our intestines are bacteria. And so what we need is the balance of healthy bacteria, and eating high fiber, eating fruits and vegetables actually keeps that balance right. And so that's why it's particularly important.
All right. And it's
good to remember.
Flu shot season right now, right? I noticed that they're starting to come out.
Yeah, see it everywhere.
It's starting to come out. People are worried because the flu season was really bad in Australia, and we looked to Australia to see how it might travel around the world, so it's looking bad. The flu shots will be coming out this month, next month, and the month after, but definitely get it.
And do we know if it's a good match based on Australia?
Don't know yet, but time will tell because the virus does mutate as it comes here.
Right. Got it. Okay. Well, that's all right. See what I just did right there? Now I'm going to have to gargle and bleach. And I can't do that. The doctor does not recommend that.
I don't think that's recommended.
All right.
But
just a Z-Pack, Doc. That's all I need, a Z-Pack, just a Z-Pack. All right. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine, and they brought us this segment. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Thanks, Dr.
Appreciate
Jim.
You being with us.
Appreciate it.
Let's check in with Don Klepp and find out what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, R. Kelly has a complaint about his jail visitations. We'll tell you more about that coming up.